You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Jingle bells, Pat Walsh smells,
hey.
JoJo laid an egg, Merry Christmas to all of you, and I hope the dog doesn't hump your leg. Hey, it's Christmas time, and a happy new year, Christmas time, full of cheer, drink the eggnog, don't be a slob.
Holy sh! Did you get crazily drunk, or is this just...
No, I'm not drunk at all.
Okay.
And, which is frightening. I've drank two quite stiff whiskey drinks, and I'm not feeling a damn thing. Merry Christmas, everybody. No, don't worry about it.
All right. Folks.
People, Pat just pulled the mic away from his face and went, ad. Like the question, like, do we have an ad?
We had an ad.
Well, if we do, we'll add it in later. Who All gives right. a rat's ass? It's then, Christmas, Pat. Get drunk. Have fun.
Well, Papa needs money for presents.
The how you doing on Christmas Day, Pat?
I'm doing fine, Joe. I mean, I'm not going to lie to these people. We're not recording this on Christmas Day. I hope I feel a little more Christmassy on Christmas Day than I do right now, but. Anyway, before I forget, let's just get on with the Joe, and also on...
You said on with the Joe. Now who's drunk? Now who's drunk? Maybe this is why you don't have any Christmas spirit, because you're a lush!
Folks, let's just go ahead and get on with the show.
Right.
And at the same time, on... With the Joe Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. Right?
Walsh with a
Christmas
Johnny,
themed.
Johnny Mathis
right?
style rendition of O Holy Night. Sultry. Yeah.
Folks, let's just get on with the Joe Little Town of Bethlehem. Right? It's Christmas, bitch!
I'd like to introduce a new segment I'd like to call Inappropriate Christmas Jokes.
Go ahead.
In the workplace.
All right.
Because we're in the workplace. We're in the uncut, thick dick house right now.
Well, I'd like to start, I assume, with the mistletoe belt. always a staple of the office perv.
I've been wearing it since we hit record.
Yeah.
I was going to give you a, hey, Pat, Merry Christmas. Why don't you come over and open my package?
Uh-huh.
I was going to give you that word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, Pat, I got something I can stuff in your stocking. You know, this kind of stuff.
Hey, Joe, you want to come over here and jingle my bells?
There you go. That's a good one.
Right.
That's a good one. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Christmas
Happy Hanukkah.
To you, Joe. Now, we haven't discussed this
Happy
yet.
Happy Kwanzaa.
But over on your Instagram the other day, I was having a real nice time doing those Jurassic Park World 2 folks jokes with you.
I loved it.
And I didn't even watch the trailer.
It is. The line in the trailer.
So, what is so bad about the trailer?
I'm going to tell you. The line
Did
in the
like
trailer.
Did you like Jurassic World?
I didn't see it.
It's average at best.
Jurassic Park 2 is one of the shittiest films I've ever seen.
Not correct.
We've argued Jurassic World or Jurassic Park 3. I enjoy.
Yeah.
Jurassic.
You consider it the best of the franchise.
I enjoyed it the most.
Yeah.
But I'll also give Jurassic Park a pass.
Jurassic Park is
as a good
excellent
film.
Movie.
Jurassic Park 2 is dog shit.
It's fine.
Jurassic World, no interest. I got to tell you, I don't want to ever, I never want to see him, like when one of those big movie, summer blockbuster movies comes out and my mom sees it in the theater and she goes, it was okay. I'm like, this movie must really suck.
Yeah. Oh yeah, old people just like going to the show.
Yeah, so I never saw it, but Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom, or The Lost Kingdom, whatever it's called. This new one. This is the line Chris Pratt spits out in the fucking trailer.
Go on.
So we got to go save a bunch of dinosaurs from an island that's about to explode. What could possibly go wrong? Ugh. That's the plot of it. The movie, the island is going to explode. And they have to get the dinosaurs off of it.
Is there a bomb on the island? Or it's
they don't
just
explain that part.
Okay.
Who the fuck knows? It's absurd. Yeah. And then, but somebody on Instagram did respond with a great note. I apologize, Instagram user, whoever said this, but it was a really good idea. He said, easily, equally plausible concept. Combine it, call it Jurassic World Armageddon, combine it with Armageddon, an asteroid's going to hit the island. You bring back the Armageddon characters.
No problem with that.
Yeah, I go, yeah, that makes sense to me. I would buy that over this goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I'm going to read you a couple of mine. Okay, in case you're not an Instagram head.
Well, I start. Let me read the establishing joke was.
Yeah, it was a very funny joke.
I said, folks, after watching the Jurassic World 2 trailer, I wish it was this franchise that was extinct. Folks.
Right. Now, I'm in the backseat of an Uber, quite intoxicated, Friday night, and I start firing off these. Folks, this picture looks like a dino boar. Folks, they ought to drop this thing in the Velociraptor. Is Velociraptor better?
No, Craptor.
Craptor. I thought so, too.
Yeah, no, you got
Heather, my fiance, told me Crapper was Velociraptor.
What does she know?
Not much.
What does she know?
Here's my favorite. Goldblum. Folks, these days we're not even getting Bronzebloom.
That one was my favorite, too.
Folks.
By the way, I was kidding about what does Heather know. I love Heather. I was just being funny.
Folks, I caught the new Jurassic Park film on an airplane the other day, and I walked out. Folks.
I saw Kevin James say that joke.
It's a very old joke.
It's a great joke, but it's Kevin James. Remember when Kevin James and Ray Romano did that golf special?
No.
On HBO where they were like golfing for charity or something?
No, I don't.
Well, they were golfing for charity and there's like, you know, fans could pay money, I guess, to watch them golf and like stand there.
Okay.
And they start shitting on each other and Ray Romano starts shitting on Hitch.
Well, that was a mistake, Ray, because Hitch is a great movie.
And then Kevin James goes, folks, I was on an airplane today. They showed Welcome to Mooseport. I walked out.
It's always funny.
It's always funny, but also just the name of the film, Welcome to Mooseport, that really sails it over the fence. Gene Hackman's final film.
How does a man who's in Welcome to Mooseport assassinate Hitch?
Maybe it wasn't Hitch. Maybe it was Paul Blart, Mall Cop, which is a...
Well, the first half of Paul Blart's very funny, as we've discussed many times in the show.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I thought he made fun of... I don't think it was about quality. I think it was just about, I want to make fun of my friend. Yeah.
Back in the old days of the Vine app, which I believe is apparently coming back, although I will not be on it, one of my beloved Vine characters was the guy who pays a therapist to voice how much he loves the first half of Paul Blart Mall Cop.
He
knows he's got doctor-patient confidentiality.
Right.
So he goes
in. Oh, he pays there so he could just go in and just talk about
how much he loves Paul Blart Mall Cop. Which was me, basically.
That's very
funny. A very funny movie.
Now, Pat.
Yes.
What do you think you may or may not get on this Christmas from somebody special, somebody that loves you?
Well, there'd have to be one such person. I have one person who loves me, and I think that she will give me something great. She always does, but it's never what I expect. And she's telling me how hard it is to buy things for me, but the truth is, I'm passionate about several things: movies, music. I guess that's it. Television,
right?
But that leaves you with a pretty wide open.
Now I know what I know what you asked for because you did tell me you don't remember, but I know you told me you asked for the James Toback YouTube class, the master class with James Toback.
Now, Joe, This has been bugging me.
But it's not about filming. It's about how to pick up women.
This has been bugging me, and I'm glad you brought it up. Why did you tell James Toback to do what he did?
It bothers me because I was dating... I got nothing funny. God damn it. The Matt Lauer response was...
You've heard of a yes and an improv comedy. Folks, I think I just got a no but.
I'm not going to top the Matt Lauer one. You said, why'd you tell Matt Lauer to do what you did? I said, because I patented the button that locks the door from the inside and didn't give
me that.
That I can't think of anything funny about James Toback.
No, he's not a funny man.
No. And it's like, by the way, really depressing movies. I can't think of anything funny.
He's never made a movie above like a C+.
Anyway, you know. So you don't know what you're going to get. It's going to be a surprise.
I don't know, and there's nothing I really want. You know, I know what I'm going to get from my dad is a check for $100, and I know what I'm going to get from my mom, which is a check for $100. Other than that, I really got to count on Heather to come through because I don't get a lot of gifts.
Okay.
So,
You never know. Maybe JoJo gives you something.
That's true. I'd love it. I'd love it.
You never know.
She gave me, you know, like a beautiful espresso machine last year that I use every day, and it can make cappuccinos and the whole thing. Right. And I was like, I didn't know I wanted this, but I use it every day. It was a perfect gift.
Right.
I don't know. I'd be happy with whatever.
All right. I got you.
What are your parents? You tell your parents what you want.
I'm going home for Christmas. I spend Christmas Day with my family.
You'll be home for Christmas.
You know what? I'm gonna air all my gifts right now.
Go ahead.
Because this comes out on Christmas. Nobody's gonna know. Our dear friend James Pinkstone. We exchange gifts every year. Like it's without fail. Like it's we've been doing it forever.
Right.
Got this fucking guy, and I know he wants it, and I know he can't find it because they're sold out everywhere. Got him a fucking Super Nintendo Classic.
Okay. So what, they re-release it and you can't find it anywhere?
It's sold out everywhere because it's a marketing scheme. You can't get it anywhere. But I found him one. Every time I talk to him, I keep playing up that you can't find these things. You know, because he knows I collect video games. It was like, I managed to get one for like $110. It wasn't like stupidly expensive.
And then... They're
supposed to be $70 is the point. I was like, you know, it's one of my oldest friends in the world. Like, let me spend a little extra cash and get this guy this thing.
Because he's never expected
it. It's got like 30 games on it or something. Anyway, I'm excited about that.
I tell you, everything old is new again, folks.
That's what it says. Oh, no, it doesn't. It says that in the 8-bit. I bought something that where it says that in the... Oh, God. Who cares? I got my parents... Very excited about this. Got my parents a turntable.
Sure.
Powered speakers and a couple records.
All right.
And I'm going to, again, it's like you're saying with the espresso machine. They're not expecting it. It's never anything they would ask for. I'm going to give it to them and I'm going to say, I want you two to enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
I want you to set this up in your sitting room area.
Yeah.
And you go and you buy records that you loved from your childhood. You go in there and you have... a romantic night together or whatever it is, and you reminisce and you enjoy life. I think it's a very nice gift.
I'm going to tell you this, though, Joe. Get him 5-6 records.
I got him 2.
Get him 5-6. I did the same with my sister, and I had 2, and then I was like, well, Pat, let's say she doesn't make it to the record store for a while. You give her 5-6. Get him a couple used Sinatras for $1 or something.
5-6. Well, the problem is I gotta get it shipped to their house.
Okay.
All right, so get him some more records.
Yeah,
now, do you think it was
you know good and well day one your parents aren't hitting the record store. They might do it eventually.
No, my mom sometimes goes to the record store in her neighborhood because I've taken her there. But all right, maybe I'll get her a few more records.
Here's
my question though: was it in poor taste that I taped a box of condoms to the back of one of the records? Should I not have done that?
Well, are you worried about your parents contracting VD? I assume they're post...
I don't know. I just thought maybe it was a little too suggestive.
I hope I'm having intercourse at their age. It's a part of life, folks, and we've swept it under the rug for too long. Now, if I could bring you over.
Which is how my father refers to intercourse.
Sweeping it under the rug.
He'll yell from the other room, "Hey, mommy, you want to go sweep it under the rug?"
Oh, boy.
He doesn't do that, anybody. Please, I'm just joking.
Hey, mommy made it.
I'm just joking. That was because Reagan apparently used to call his mother mommy.
Right.
Or his wife mommy, excuse me. But I asked for, my mom always asks for like an Amazon list and I give it to her. But I asked for a couple video games.
Okay.
Some old PSP games I wanted and a couple Nintendo DS games, 3DS games I wanted, like Zelda Majora's Mask and New Metroid. And then I asked for a Vincent Price box set that I've wanted for quite some time.
Okay.
And, it's nothing. It's crazy. It's like five movies. And a couple records. I asked for The Doors, The Soft Parade, which is my favorite Doors album. And I asked for...
Does it have... Mr. Mojo Rising.
No, that's L.A. Woman. But the Soft Parade has...
I don't like the Doors.
I love the Doors. The Soft Parade has, come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's
a great song. I'll give you Touch Me, Babe.
And then I asked...
What was that promise that you made?
Yeah that's I get chills when you watch the live one where it's them and like the orchestra. Uh-huh. On that 60s TV show. Uh-huh. Doing it's fucking awesome, man.
Now I'm gonna love you.
You know, at that period, Morrison, I forget who his initial favorite singer was. At that period, his favorite singer was Frank Sinatra.
I'll buy
he
that.
Became, and he wanted to. He wanted his voice to be better.
I don't know that he got there, but...
He's got a good voice.
Well, as Rip Taylor said in Wayne's World 2, he was a crooner stuck in a rock milieu, which I like.
He said that about Morrison?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
I'm telling you, folks, Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2 are comedy classics. And 2 is not as good as 1, but it has 100 perfect jokes in it. Folks, I'd love to, if I could, take you over to Pat's Movie Corner. Now, Joe.
Yes.
I'm working my way steadily through the Oscar screeners, and here are my reviews. I'd like to preface this by saying I'm a man who has fallen asleep in a movie 5 times in my entire 36-year life. Almost 37 years. Hostels with Christian Bale.
I've never even heard of that movie. Until Oscar time. I was like,
I know.
What is this movie? I never even heard of it.
It's Christian Bale. It's got that the kid from Call Me By Your Name. It's got Jesse Plemons. It's got Ben Foster.
Who's Jesse Plemons? Is that the guy from Black Mass that plays the door guy?
Most would know him from Friday Night Lights or like Observe and Report or Fargo. But yes.
Yeah. He's married to Kirsten Dunst.
Right? I watched them make out at a party once, and I was blown away because he's a... real heavy, not attractive guy.
Man's got a real swollen face.
Yeah, especially at the time I saw him. It looked like he had just been eating.
He's got a real swollen... Looks like he's been stung by bees.
Yes, and there is no one to me more attractive than Kirsten Dunst. I can think of very few people.
She is a dream. She's a ray of sunshine wrapped in a moonbeam.
Yeah, and a hell of an actress. If you haven't seen Melancholia, I really recommend that. But any hoot... I was watching this Hostels thing, and I got 20 minutes in. Girlfriend woke me up. 30 minutes woke me up. 40 minutes woke me up. Went to bed. And I've never been so bored. It's a guy bringing a Native American chief back to his final resting place, and he clearly has some sort of hatred for Native Americans. This thing has gotten great reviews by and large. It's the guy who did Crazy Heart. And Black Mass, actually.
Oh, it's the Black... I didn't know that's the guy that did Crazy Heart.
So I'm going to need to finally watch it again, but I'll say on initial viewing, fully awake, I was knocked out several times. I also, folks, on the Facebook page, a lot of you were trying to get me to watch Wonder Woman. I watched it this weekend. I got 50 minutes in, snoring at 2 p.m., like a dad on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wonder Woman's a solid flick.
I got to tell you, folks. I mean,
Wonder Woman. I wonder why I watched it.
I'm watching her and Chris Pine flirt on a boat. I didn't see a single electric lasso make an appearance. I was bored out of my mind. Wait,
you didn't watch enough of it.
I'm going to finish the movie, folks. But as of right now, I'm just telling you, I watched a couple movies and couldn't finish them.
All right.
As for movies I did finish, Wonderstruck.
You made it through Wonderstruck, but not Wonder Woman.
Correct. And there's also Wonder Wheel, the Woody Allen movie, which I made it through. And there's also Wonder about the kid with the fucked up face.
Now, this is what's crazy to me. You fell asleep during Wonder Woman. He was live texting me through Wonderstruck.
That's right.
Live texting me. I was like, what are you even talking about? I don't even know what this fucking movie is.
Well, they sent it. It's available on Amazon Prime. It's the new Todd Haynes movie. Speaking of Wonder, by the way.
Oh, Todd Haynes is always...
I know. Heather went to see Wonder.
The kid with the... Now, what is the condition the kid has in the movie?
I don't know. I didn't see it. But I was texting her, and I was cracking myself up. She did not find it funny at all, but I was like, I'm telling you, before the picture starts, go into the bathroom and have a good laugh, because you don't want to be the only one laughing when they unveil the kid's face. She was like, I'm not going to laugh at his face. I was like, Heather, you think you're not going to laugh at his face.
Wow, you're like one of the bullies in Mask.
I know. Well, it bothers me that in this day and age where it's like, if you're going to have a trans character, she should be played by a trans person. But suddenly we're going to do a movie about a kid with a fucked up face. Let's get the cutest kid in America and slap some makeup on him.
And I also, I'm sorry, folks. I know the man's trying to spread his wings as an actor. Not by an Owen Wilson as the endearing dad.
No, nope, not happening.
I see my son's face.
Yeah.
My son is beautiful.
What you guys don't understand about my son is that he's beautiful.
I got to tell you, Owen, I took a look at that nose. This movie could have been about you. Maybe you should be wearing the space helmet.
He does have a real dick nose. But anyway, Wonderstruck, Todd Haynes, Todd Haynes, I liked Far From Heaven. I liked Carol to some extent, but he makes these very heavily stylized movies.
Oh, I'm sorry, Todd Haynes. I was thinking of Todd Solondz.
Well, Todd Solondz did fucking Happiness, which is a masterpiece.
Sorry, I was scoffing at Todd Solondz. Todd Haynes has made what?
Todd Haynes did Safe with Julianne Moore, Far From Heaven with Julianne Moore.
I love Far From Heaven.
Carol.
Didn't see Carol.
He makes interesting movies, and they're done with a lot of love.
Far From Heaven was great.
Far From Heaven was a really good movie.
Yes. And it's, if you don't know, it's a movie about where it's, it takes place in the 50s. Julianne Moore, excuse me, falls in love with Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah.
In a time where white women were not allowed to fall in love with deep-voiced men. Folks. In sports.
Now, wait. I remember that movie as being about Julianne Moore's husband, Dennis Quaid, being closeted gay. Well,
that's part of it, too. Bold. I just wanted to get my deep voice joke out.
So he's getting cucked, but he's also S&D on the left.
Sucking dick? Is that what that
is? Yeah.
No, he's not getting cucked. She falls in love with Dennis Haysbert because she's like, my husband's gay. I can't be with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a tragic movie about, like, nobody can be with who they love because everybody's so prejudiced. Like, they're like, this poor guy can't be with another guy because everybody's so prejudiced. And this poor woman can't be with the man she loves because he's black because everybody's so prejudiced.
Right. Yeah, it's like all the old Douglas Sirk movies.
Yeah,
like, it's
It's based on a series of old Three Stooges shorts.
It was a shimp, if I recall correctly.
Julia Moore says, I can't date you, you're black. And Dennis Haysbert goes, yeah, beep, 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 beep.
Some of the only good times my dad and I had were we'd wait up every night and watch the 6 hours of Three Stooges shorts on Friday night, and it would come up and we'd be like, oh, every time we'd be like, come on baby, and then we'd see that shimp and be like, I like shimp.
Here's what's
going
to piss.
You got a Curly Joe. Have you ever seen a Curly Joe?
I've seen them all, babe.
Yeah,
I've seen them all.
Curly Joe is like the real substandard version of Curly, basically.
Shemp is my favorite, though.
Shemp's real. Shemp's so ugly that he makes me laugh.
I love Shemp. And people go, no, Curly's the best. I say, you know what? You know what I say to these people? They say, Shemp, hey, Curly's the best. I say, Curly is never mind. Shemp is in utero.
Oh, that might be true.
It's absolutely true. It takes a little more understanding. You have to get to spend some time with it.
But now, here's my issue. My issue is that Shemp is too close to Mo.
He's not, though. He's
They're
not.
Brothers, right?
Yeah, they are brothers. They look alike, but he's not. That's the beauty of the character.
They look too similar or something.
It's
I was always a Larry man. I loved Larry.
I love Larry.
Yeah.
I love them all. I actually like Curly Joe too. I'm not as much as Shemp or Curly, but there's only one bad one. It's the guy after Curly Joe. That's really bad. There's another guy named Joe something and he sucks. But Curly Joe is the one that's very effeminate, right? The one that's like, stop it, not so hard.
Right.
that's still very funny to me.
Yeah, Curly Joe has some laughs.
You know, but...
Did you see the Farrelly Brothers Three Stooges movie?
I bought it on blind faith.
Honestly, there's some laughs in there.
There are some laughs in it.
Yeah.
I love Larry David as the nun. I thought the impressions that the three guys did of the Three Stooges were pretty excellent.
Yeah.
But...
Sasso. I mean, they were good. The guys were
They
good.
Were very good. Yeah. I just hated that it became like heartfelt at the end,
I
where
know,
like Mo feels bad for the way he's treated. Come the fuck on.
That
man.
Ain't Mo. That
it
ain't
should
Mo.
Have been.
Not my hashtag, not my Mo.
And by the way, this is the Farrelly Brothers. It should have been goddamn Kingpin all the way through.
Yeah.
Make it a ridiculous romp all the way through.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Come on. We have this fucking.
I hear you.
Anyway. All right.
Wonderstruck. I mean, I could try to give you a synopsis, but we don't have enough time. It's two parallel stories. One in the 70s, a boy, mom and dad die. One in the 30s or 20s, a girl's looking for her mom, played by Julianne Moore. That one's done entirely silent.
Oh, God.
It's about a deaf girl. It's done silent movie style.
Well, it's nice that it's about a deaf girl, but they actually play it like a silent,
like a silent
film.
Movie. There are long scenes where people are writing their dialogue on a notepad and showing it to each other. Long scenes. The movie is over 2 hours. The only reason I finished it is because I couldn't believe how bad and terrible it was. And in the end, it turns into a... At the end, they're like, we better explain what's going on. And they hastily explain what's going on in a 5-minute stop motion animation segment.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This.
Just stop it.
As far as I'm concerned, was one of the worst movies of the year, and it was sent to me for my consideration as one of the best.
All right.
Do not see this film.
Okay.
My other is the only other one I got was Last Flag Flying.
Again, I don't even heard of it. What is it?
You'll get that as a screener. It's a Richard Linklater movie.
Okay.
It's Steve Carell.
All right.
It's Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
And it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, wait. This is the sequel to The Last Detail.
Allegedly a sequel to The Last Detail, which is a fantastic movie with Nicholson and Randy Quaid. That's a big leap to make. It has almost nothing to do with The Last Detail.
But it's the same characters, right?
Yes, it is. And I got to say, if you want to see those, if you like those three actors and you want to see them kind of doing some good acting off one another and like having some nice, sweet moments, it was entertaining.
All right.
It was entertaining. I liked it. It's nothing amazing, but those three are good. Carell as like the guy who's always like...
Who plays the
I'm
Nicholson?
I'm getting tired of it.
Who plays the Nicholson character?
Cranston.
Who plays
Cranston's
the
really good in it.
Who plays
and Fishburne's really good in it.
Who plays the Randy Quaid?
What was Randy Quaid's character's name?
I don't remember.
Obviously, it's not a continuation because now Fishburne is black.
Are there no black characters
wasn't,
in it?
Wasn't The Last Detail Nicholson,
I thought you said it was
Quaid
Randy
and Dern?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna look
Christ.
It
All right. While you look that up, I'll get into my stuff.
Tell me what you got.
I watched a series of Christmas episodes of television programs, mostly sitcoms. I obviously can't go through all of them, but I'll tell you the ones I watched. I watched I'm going to save the one for last that I want to talk about. I watched the Trailer Park Boys live from the North Pole. Fantastic. So funny.
Sure.
So fucking funny.
Sure.
The premise is, it's basically just a concert film where they do a show in Minneapolis. But the premise is that Ricky, if you watch the show, still believes in Santa Claus. And they tell him that Santa Claus wants them to go to the North Pole, which is Minneapolis, to do a show. Okay. And during the show, he on stage, he finds out that Santa Claus isn't real. And then it's very funny. It's very, very funny. I watched two Frasier Christmas episodes, which were impeccable.
Sure.
The last season
That's
one.
A very well-written show.
Yeah, I watched the last season one where his kid comes in and he's goth suddenly. It was really funny.
Frasier's kid?
Yeah, in the last season.
Who plays Frasier's kid? I don't remember that.
Some kid.
All right.
But in the last season for the Christmas one, he comes in and he's goth. And the plot is the kid's goth and Frasier's upset about it. And then the dad, and then Frasier's doing a promo for the radio station. Or I'm sorry, Frasier's doing a promo for Seattle, like for the tourism board.
Okay.
And they love Frasier and they love the dog, Eddie. And they put them both in the promo. And then Niles wants to rebel for the first time, so he gets a pot brownie from Roz. But then accidentally the dad eats the pot brownie.
Of course.
And then Frasier watches the promo. I mean, it's so brilliantly weaved together. Frasier watches the promo, and they've just dubbed his voice into Eddie. So Eddie's just a dog talking.
Okay.
With Frasier's voice. And then the dad, when he's high, at the peak of when he's high, and you forget that this was even a plot point, turns on this video and sees his own dog talking to him and freaks out. It's sure. really, really fucking funny.
Frasier, you know. It doesn't have the cool quota of Cheers or whatever, but as far as like a well-written sitcom,
it's amazing.
That's a class act, that show.
It's amazing. I watched the Cheers, a Cheers Christmas episode, the one where Sam doesn't get Rebecca a present and then has to go out and try to find her a present.
Okay.
At the last minute because everybody else got her something, and he all the stores are closed because it's Christmas Eve, and he meets a stewardess. On the street. He meets a woman on the street and says, you are you okay? And he goes, I can't find, I got to get a present for my boss and everything's closed. She goes, look, I got all these presents here. Why don't you take one of these? And he goes, oh my God, you're so, I'll pay you for it. What do you have? And she goes, well, let's see. I've got a teddy. I've got a garter belt. Can't have too many of those, you know?
Right.
And Sam goes, what are you doing? She goes, I'm an airline stewardess. And Ted Danson looks up in the air and he goes, Merry Christmas, Sammy. So, you know, typical Cheers plot line.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to try to have sex with a stewardess.
Right.
I watched the Golden Girls, one of their Christmas episodes, where the plot is they decide to make each other presents for the first time ever instead of buying each other presents because they don't want to buy into the capitalistic spirit of Christmas.
Was that a B. Arthur decision?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it turns into them being held hostage at Rose's therapy clinic by a guy dressed as Santa Claus who just wants to have friends.
Okay.
And one of the patients at the clinic is none other than Mr. Whatever His Face is from Perfect Strangers.
Sabella.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the naked guy on the subway in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
No.
Playing a very different character.
Also
no,
Pumbaa from
wait,
the
Wait, Sabella's no, the naked guy on the train in no. The naked guy on the train in Seinfeld is the guy that owns the pawn shop in Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
I'm talking about the boss at the paper.
Oh, the boss.
Who's like the sleaze.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Okay.
very enjoyable, very funny. Some of the best written jokes on television.
Sure. Oh, of course, Golden Girls was always
great fucking
joke.
Great fucking joke where Blanche is talking about Charlie's Angels. What are the actors?
Farrah Fawcett.
Not her.
Jacqueline Smith.
Oh, let's just say Farrah Fawcett. Okay. She goes. Blanche goes, I've often been compared to Miss Farrah Fawcett. Of course, both my bosoms are much perkier. Right? Big laugh from the audience. Beat. And then B. Arthur goes, not if you were hanging upside down on a trapeze, Blanche. It's a great fucking joke, man.
Yeah. Seems a little mean for her to say to her friend, but
it's they say it frequently.
Yeah.
And then finally, this is the one I'll talk about in more detail. I watched the Step by Step Christmas episode.
What, Hulu?
It was on Hulu.
Did they have the whole run of Step by Step on Hulu?
I think so, but they had a Christmas highlight section.
Talk about a show I've seen every episode of and could not tell you a single plot point of.
I went through the Christmas episodes of TV show section on Hulu, found the Step by Step Christmas episode, turned it on for one reason and one reason only. Thumbnail, Don Knotts. I was like, well, I want to see this.
Sure.
Here's the plot. Patrick Murphy, whatever the fuck
Duffy.
His name is, Duffy, he thinks Suzanne Summers buys the one kid the train set he wants.
Uh-huh.
It's Christmas Eve. She says, no, I didn't buy it. He says, oh, I thought you bought it. I didn't buy it either. It's too late. They can't get the thing. The next morning's Christmas. Patrick Duffy goes, well, I've been remodeling that toy store. I still have the keys. Like, let's just go down. I'll put the money in the thing. And when I'm Suzanne Summers is like, that's crazy. That's breaking in. And he's like, it's not. We're going to leave the money. It'll be fine. They go into the toy store. As they're buying the stuff, he picks up a toy squirt gun. And he's like, well, this is cool. I'm going to get him this too. And who walks by but Don Knotts, dressed as Barney Fife, looks in the window, the whole like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then arrests them. And then the whole episode is them in jail. As Don Knotts like sits there and they're like, it's Christmas Day. Can you please let us go into our families? Don't you want to be with your family? He's like, I don't have a family. Nobody's ever put a saddle on this steed. He's like right. 90, by the way.
Yeah, you just sold me on the episode with one line.
It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable enough. I had a good time watching it. I've been loving watching it.
Like a kickboxer.
I don't know.
Who was like the poor man's Keanu Reeves, Sasha something.
I know who you're talking because it's always like, whoa, I don't know. But anyway.
You used to watch just the 10 of us?
I mean, when I was very young, I barely remember it.
That was a decent show, too. We got to start our commentary here, folks. We are...
it's Christmas Day. Let's start the commentary.
We're going to do commentary on the how the Grinch Stole Christmas. Not the Jim Carrey version, the classic...
1966
animated picture.
Now, folks, if you want to watch along with us, this is on YouTube.
Joe has typed in the search box, Grinch Stole Christmad. And even that brought it up. So you should have no trouble finding it.
A few versions will come up, but the one you want, if you want to watch along with us, is How the Grinch Stole Christmas! (1966 full movie, ! So go get that now. And if you got it set up, on the count of three, and then play. 1, 2, 3,
play. Are you sure this is the one we should be doing?
Yeah, I watched it already.
All right.
I mean, I checked it already. Well, you think it's going to be like wrong? The problem is it's...
We're watching it on a television?
You got to watch it with this... Well,
you don't have it on Hulu or something?
No, I checked everything. And I bought the goddamn Blu-ray.
All right.
And we can't watch Blu-rays while we do this. We can only watch streaming stuff because of the way the setup is. And... I went to see, like, well, I was like, well, I'll rent it again, I guess, for $3 or whatever. You can only buy the goddamn thing for $9.99.
I should have brought it over. I own it.
No, I own it, too. I'm saying we can't watch a disc while we do this.
We're going to need to tell them again which YouTube video we're looking at.
We already said it. They can rewind it.
Right now it says, I'm going to tell you what's on the screen. We're just coming to Dr. Seuss' How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That should be filling up your screen.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
If you're watching the correct version, it's the one that has the Mitsubishi television mock-up around it.
I'm blown away by how low rent this podcast is that we're watching this YouTube video of.
Nobody can see it.
That's true.
So who cares?
All right.
Who cares? Now, this is a movie about people that love Christmas, I guess, you know? I don't know.
Now, this is so much louder in my headphones than the Perfect Strangers.
I'm going to lower it. Give me 1 second.
On our Patreon episode, Joe and I did commentary on the episode of Perfect Strangers called Fright Night. So you can look forward to that.
If you're a Patreon member.
If you're a Patreon.
If you're not, you're fucked.
Yes. Now, Joe, you said you had never seen the Jim Carrey Grinch, correct?
I watched it the other day.
In its entirety?
No. I got about 20 minutes. I couldn't do it. It is
very
a
bad.
Shit show.
It's very,
it's
very bad.
It's terrible.
And it should have been an easy slam dunk, by the way.
I didn't think Ron Howard was capable of making a movie that bad.
It's a very inept movie, yeah.
It's really bad. And then I hate that immediately they tie in like the capitalism thing about Christmas.
Yeah.
Like where like the first line in the movie is the daughter is the like the little girl from the story going to her dad. Dad, isn't this a bit much? Is this what Christmas is really about? Like, you're going this direction with this? Just make this fun. Make it about a creep on a mountain.
Yeah.
Now, what's great about this 1966 version, other than the magnificent animation,
yeah,
is that Boris Karloff?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Narrates it, and he's also the voice of the Grinch.
Does a hell of a job.
Yes.
Is this your favorite of the old Christmas specials? I mean, I have a very soft spot in my heart for the claymation ones, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I own all of those as well.
I always thought the animated Frosty was kind of shitty.
I like it.
But the Rankin Bass with, you know, with Abominable Snowman and all that.
Those are great.
Amazing. Amazing
stuff. Those are great. I've taken a recent liking to Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Never seen it, but I'm sure it's great. I love Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet Christmas Carol is great. I really like the George C. Scott one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Scrooge.
Very dark. Yeah, Scrooge is great. But no, you know what my favorite Christmas special of all time is?
No, I don't.
And I own it on DVD, and I leave it at my mom's just so we can watch it every Christmas Day.
What is it?
Rich Little's Christmas Carol, where he plays every character in the cast, but as a famous person.
Are they puppets? Is it animated?
No. It's just like they shoot it where he just plays everybody on video.
Wait a minute.
It's old. It's very old.
So he's just like sitting on a couch doing voices?
No. It's the Christmas. It's the whole thing. It's the whole production. But he plays every character in it.
Oh, so he's like...
With camera tricks.
Okay.
So, you know, they have a body double as he's talking to somebody, and then they... Not really, but I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like it's him doing W.C. Fields as Scrooge. Then he does Johnny Carson as Bob Cratchit.
When did this air?
In the early, early 80s.
On television?
Yeah, I think on like Showtime or something.
Can I say that it sounds terrible?
Honestly, if you watch it, you probably wouldn't think it was great, but it's awesome. All three ghosts are detectives.
Okay.
So the first one is...
It's getting worse.
The first one is Bogart. The second one is, who is the second one? I can't remember who the second one is. The third one is Inspector Clouseau.
Uh-huh. A comedy character. I never understand impressions of comedy characters.
Well, that's just the one. Yeah. Who else? Bob Cratchit is Paul Lynde.
I believe you just said Bob Cratchit was Johnny Carson.
No, sorry. His nephew is Johnny Carson. Okay.
Fezziwig.
No, Fezziwig is the boss. That's Groucho Marx.
Oh, my God.
His nephew is Carson. So his nephew comes in and he goes, I wanted to invite you to a Christmas dinner or whatever. And he goes, okay. And he goes, it is cold out there tonight.
And this sounds terrible.
And he goes, okay. And he goes, it is so cold. It is so cold. And then from off camera, you hear Paul Lynde as Bob Cratchit go, how cold is it? And he goes, it was so cold. I saw two cockroaches with jumper cables trying to get a mouse started. And then it bombs and he goes, may all of your children be, you know, whatever that saver line that Carson used to do was. I love it. I fucking love it. I watch it every year.
I assume it's on YouTube. I'll look it up.
I watch it every year. I love it
all
so
right.
much.
All right.
But I liked it as a kid. It's I've carried it.
Is Rich Little playing the women?
Yeah, he does Edith Bunker as Mrs. Cratchit.
Is he wearing wigs and shit?
Tiny Tim is Truman Capote.
Oh my god! Is he dress and drag?
For Edith Bunker, he does. Okay. That's the only woman he played. I think it's the only female character in the whole story.
No, there's more. You ever see the Zemeckis Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey?
I love it.
That's pretty good.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's decent.
I think it's, well, that one, one too. Carrey plays all the ghosts.
Yeah, he does. That was one of the first 3D pictures I saw.
I love it. I think
you
it's
like
great.
You like Polar Express?
No.
Polar Express is shit.
Well, I mean, it's just not
and
meant for
also
me.
Also terrible animation.
It's not meant for me. It's that's meant for children. Little baby.
Honestly, babies.
Children, yeah.
And maybe children with like learning disabilities.
Oh, stop
I'm
it,
just
Tech.
Saying. I'm
Why
just
do you
saying.
Say something like that on Christmas Day?
I'm just saying.
Why would you say something like that on Christmas Day?
For, you know. Sorry.
I got a gift for you. It's the gift of enlightenment.
Oh, boy.
Shape up or ship out. Now, do you think the Grinch fucks this little dog while they're up in the mountains? I mean, it must get lonely up there.
I don't think they fuck, but I think the dog has seen the Grinch jack off on many occasions.
Do you think the look at that grin on the Grinch? Do you? I bet she's
that
doing
Grinch.
Something. Oh God.
Now, Joe, what's your favorite Christmas movie of all time?
Well,
now let me throw this by you. I'm up at the Smokehouse the other night. Local restaurant.
The crack house bar. That you hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see...
with the dad from Elf.
I see, yes. I see Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
Eating dinner, holding court.
With who? Sarah Jessica Parker?
People I didn't know. Certainly not Sarah Jessica Parker.
All right.
I feel like that marriage is a sham.
I feel like that, too, a little bit.
Yeah. Broderick's sitting there, and everybody's talking about how old he looks, and I'm like, guys, Ferris Bueller was 30 years ago. People age.
Yeah.
I was getting kind of angry about him.
Does he look bloated these days still?
Of course, of course.
I think he's a big drinker.
I think so too. But this guy, Chris Diamantopoulos, is playing the dad in The Christmas Story.
Wow. That was, by the way, that was a Dennis Miller name if I've ever heard one.
Diamantopoulos.
I'm sorry, folks. I'm not fucking Chris Diamantopoulos.
But he's playing the dad in Christmas Story, the old man. They're doing it for Fox. You know, they do these reboots.
And who the fuck is Broderick playing?
And Maya Rudolph is playing the mom.
Who's Broderick playing?
But the whole time I was assuming that Broderick was playing the dad. But then of a sudden
Chris
I started...
fucking Stephanopoulos is. Right.
So then I started thinking, who the fuck is Broderick playing?
He's narrating it, I bet.
Oh, he's playing Ralphie as an adult.
Yeah, he's narrating it.
All right, well, that's cool.
Who's playing Ralphie as a kid?
Some new kid. But I might watch the new Christmas Story. I love A Christmas Story. I'm kind of blown away. And I saw that Ken Jeong is in it. So clearly he's going to play the guy in the Chinese restaurant.
You don't know that. Let's not just assume that that's what it's going to be.
Do you honestly believe that in 2017 they're going to do the fa-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra bit? Because...
No.
Folks, that's a horrifically racist scene.
Well, I mean, look.
I've always laughed at it, but it is promoting some pretty offensive stereotypes.
I don't think it's... Hold on a second. I understand why it could be construed as racist. I don't think they're trying I don't think they're actively trying to promote any stereotypes. I think they're just making a joke. And
it came out around the same time as 16 Candles, which people are also looking at with a new lens.
You know, I get the new lens thing. I'm not denying that at all. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I don't think the producers were sitting there going, let's promote this stereotype right
no,
now.
No, you're probably right. A Christmas Story... is a favorite of mine. I love Bad Santa. I love Christmas Vacation.
I got a bit.
Scrooge. But what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Let's answer
the question.
I have a bit I want to do.
All right.
Folks, did you see this new rendition of A Christmas Story? I was enjoying it until the lamp sued the dad for inappropriate behavior.
Uh-huh.
My favorite Christmas movie? I mean, look, Christmas Story's way up there. Favorite Christmas movie? Scrooge is way up there.
My number one without question is It's a Wonderful Life. Because that's one of my top three favorite movies of all time. But I got to tell you, folks, there's so many. I love Home Alone, folks.
I got to tell you, I'm going to put Love Actually at number one.
Love Actually is fantastic.
It makes me cry every time I watch
it. It's a fantastic picture.
And the storyline alone with what's his face from Shaun of the Dead. Alan Rickman's is great.
The Alan Rickman Emma Thompson story is the best story in the whole thing, and should be its own movie.
I would disagree.
That's an incredible story.
I love that story. Yeah. I don't think it's the best in the whole thing.
Are so good in that. Though.
The best in the whole thing, in my opinion, is the dad from Shaun of the Dead,
Bill Nye.
The Bill Nye one kills me.
It's
when
great.
When he goes back,
it is great.
He's verbally abusive to his heavyset manager the entire film.
Yes.
And then when he goes to his manager's house on Christmas Eve and says, I realize you're my family and who I love and I want to spend my Christmas with you. And it's literally just a guy just stating his friendship for somebody that's taking care of him for somebody.
Yeah.
It's just that destroys me, that part.
I saw Love Actually in a theater in New York. I hadn't spoken to a human being in months, and I cried like a bitch.
I cry every
time
I watch
film.
It.
It really is. And honestly, you're kind of stupid if you say otherwise.
The end with like the airport thing at the end, and like I almost start crying right at the top.
Is stupid.
I almost start crying right at
the 9/11 bit. Yeah.
No. The airport thing at the beginning. I almost start crying where it's like. The look how happy they are when like the people are like coming together in the airport and everything.
Yeah,
it's
that
like,
bit's like they say that people in 9/11 were calling home. Yeah, it's a great.
Oh, they do say that. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. It's just a fantastic fucking film.
It is, and they keep a lot of balls in the air, and pretty much all those stories are at the very least entertaining, and in some cases they make grown men cry.
Yeah, I love Love Actually.
It's a great movie.
So I guess I'd put that as my number one, and I would put I would put Scrooged as a close second.
Scrooged
is just really,
and Scrooge will make me cry when he's doing that bit at the end. It'll make me cry.
That kills me.
And
you can feel like that every day. Yeah, it kills me.
Murray, his voice hoarse with cocaine.
Really?
Apparently, Murray's most coked-out picture was Scrooged.
I never knew he was a big coke.
That was him at like a crazy level of coke.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
But Alfre Woodard and the kid—I mean, they did that. They did that really well. That movie. It's a Wonderful Life is a top three of all time for me, so I got to pick that. The movie makes me cry like a small bitch, like a little bitch. I love it.
I don't know why you have to put a label on it, but all right, you know, whatever. like a small bitch,
yeah.
He says.
But you know,
folks, just to let you know where we're at,
we haven't even looked at the picture.
In the movie. The Grinch. It's the best part. It's the montage where he's stealing all the gifts from Whoville, and it's playing the Grinch song, which is such an awesome song.
Yeah,
you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Great tune.
Now, do you like Nightmare Before Christmas?
Never saw it.
It's really good.
Never saw it. And in fact, I was talking to Greg Proops.
Yeah.
Comedian Greg Proops, who I'm a big fan of, at a party the other night.
All right.
And I was praising him because he's in episode one. He's a voice in Phantom Menace. And I said, you're part of my favorite universe ever. You're part of Star Wars. And he was talking about how he had just come from New York to do a live rendition of Nightmare Before Christmas. I go, dude, don't kill me, please. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I get it. He goes, most people didn't see it. He was like, it became popular much later. And I was like, well, I was a pothead in college, and all my friends were like acting like that was sacrilege that I'd never seen it.
It's a very good movie.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I've just never seen it.
I remember
now,
was it
a Christmas
out,
movie or a Halloween movie?
It came out the same day as The Addams Family Values. It is both a Christmas and Halloween movie, which is why it came out around Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, it blends the two worlds, Halloween and Christmas. And it's a Tim Burton.
Okay.
Great animation, great songs. It's very entertaining.
I bet you it's not as good as these newer Tim Burton films.
Christ. The man hasn't made a good movie in 15 years.
What was his last picture?
Big Eyes?
No.
Dark Shadows?
No, it was Big Eyes before it was Dark Shadows.
Big Eyes was a very average movie, and it was his best movie in about a decade.
Big Eyes might have been his last picture.
Yeah.
His last picture. What, Pat? Go ahead.
Love.
We're all listening.
Home Alone.
I like Home Alone. I like Home Alone 2 better, though. I think that
Home Alone 1 is 100% better.
I know that Home Alone 1 is a better film overall, but I like the finale of Home Alone 2 better. The final 20 minutes of Home Alone 2 to me is funnier.
It's pretty relentless, yes.
Because it's got the,
if for nothing else, it's got the nonstop electrocution of Daniel Stern thing where he literally is turning from a skeleton.
Right.
It's a total,
it's
John Hughes.
From Planes,
yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
But let me tell you this. Speaking of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home Alone 2 does not have Mr. John Candy.
Well, John Candy only pops up in Home Alone 1 for 2 minutes.
But it is one hell of a scene.
It's funny. He plays the Polish guy with the... He's got an accent, doesn't he?
One is the classic, and to me, 2 is like... Everything is ripped off to such a cheap, pathetic degree.
Yeah, 2's not... Like I said, one's a much better film.
Yeah.
But 2, look, I feel like the whole point of Home Alone is you're trying to get to that fucking Traps and Gadgets finale.
But honestly, I find the rest of it just as entertaining.
Really?
I do.
I will say...
Now, Joe, do you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
I'll count Die Hard.
I love Die Hard. And I love Die Hard, too.
I saw Die Hard 2 once in the theater, and I don't remember it.
Die Hard 2 is fantastic.
I just remember all of us kind of being like, yeah, it happened at Christmas again. That's good. I liked it.
I would, you know, 1 is the best, and then 2 and 3 are pretty neck and neck for me. Beyond that, it's unwatchable. But
I love 3.
3 is great.
I like Live Free or Die Hard. The 5th one sucks.
The opening scene of Die Hard with a Vengeance is one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen in an action movie. With the I hate N-word sign.
Yeah. And then he has to team up with Samuel Jackson,
like
who
life.
Hates white people.
Yeah.
It's that I really like Die Hard. And I also like that it's the brother of the terrorist from the first one.
Jeremy Irons is great.
It's I really like Die Hard with a Vengeance.
It's
I thought
great.
It took some like cool chances story wise.
But 2, I mean, just the fact that so when he ejects out of that plane and his seat comes all the way up so like his nose touching the camera, that's like a shot I've almost never seen before or since. And
screaming, ah!
Right?
Yeah.
When he shoots the gas tank so it's leaking gas, then lights the gas tank on fire so the trail of fire goes up and blows up the plane, but then the trail of fire becomes the light that guides in the airplanes. That's pretty genius.
Yeah,
it's pretty genius.
I don't remember that at all, but sure, it sounds good.
All right, Joe.
I'm
going
like-
to put Bad Santa up there as well.
I forgot about Bad Santa. That's way up my list. That's way up my list. Back to Die Hard for a second. A Die Hard 2 to me is like the... oh, God damn it. I just had a perfect analogy. It's like the... oh, fuck. I'm sorry, Pat.
That is a perfect analogy.
I've had a bit of whiskey here and... you know, what are you going to do? It happens. Here you go. Let me top you off, buddy.
All right.
Give me just a little dab there for your glass.
All right.
It's the holidays, folks. Don't judge us.
It's early.
Who you judging? It's us. It's not really early. It's a Sunday night.
It's 10:10. Ring 10:10.
Pat has to work tomorrow.
I do.
I have to do Getting Dug with High tomorrow.
You'll be fine.
The Grinch has stolen all the Whoville people's gifts, and he's now up on his mountain just reveling in it. He's very happy.
Yeah.
Now, here's why the movie fucked up.
Go on.
This is the climactic moment in the cartoon. He's happy. He's like, I ruined Christmas for these cocksuckers down there. I stole their gifts. Now they're not going to enjoy it. But then they come out and they sing... And they're still happy, and they're still celebrating Christmas. And that's when he realizes Christmas isn't about presents. It's about the spirit. It's about love.
Right.
And in the goddamn movie, they immediately start it with this capitalism bullshit.
Right.
And it's like, it ruins it. It takes it way out of Dr. Seuss.
That's right.
That's not what Dr. Seuss is.
That's right, Joe.
Dr. Seuss is a magical, wonderful world where people don't do stuff like that.
That's right, Joe.
You know, I'm sorry, Pat. I get fired up.
I know.
You know, I'm thinking about starting an Alex Jones kind of video show.
Joe, I feel like that's maybe 3 years off for you.
No, where I just discussed Dr. Seuss adaptations.
Right.
So it's episode 1 will be Grinch, episode 2 Cat in the Hat. And after that, we're going to have a hard time.
Let me throw some Christmas titles at you. Let me know what you think. Jingle All the Way.
Never saw it.
Schwarzenegger, Hartman, and Sinbad. Jingle All the Way. I'm going to shoot you straight. It's funny.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I never saw it.
I mean, you did hear me say Phil Hartman, Schwarzenegger, and Sinbad.
Yes.
There's going to be
it
laughs.
It came out at the wrong time. It came out when I was in college.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just,
right.
You know, I it wasn't, you know.
It's got some laughs. Let me throw the Santa Claus at you.
Never saw it, but.
It's a funny
not
movie.
Not against it.
It's a funny movie.
I'm sad that the third one is so poorly reviewed because that's the one with Martin Short.
That's right. Let me throw Prancer at you.
Never saw Prancer.
I saw Prancer at the Dollar Show. I sobbed. I was 9 years old. Prancer's a really good movie with Sam Elliott.
But that was just because of the guy that took you into the bathroom.
Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus. I'm sorry, people. This is, you know, we talk truth on this podcast. Do you count Batman Returns as a Christmas film?
Of course, and one of my favorites. I love Batman Returns.
I like it if I watch it through the filter of it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
If I watch it as a Batman movie, I hate it.
Okay.
But if I watch it as a Christmas movie, guys, we just got a commercial here on YouTube, and if that's happened to you, we're sorry.
Was it over?
No,
it wasn't even
it's
over.
Not over. Okay. We're right at the part, pause it if you need to, the dog is being pulled up by the sled, and the sled's going to fall over. Grinch is going up to save the dog.
Running up to save the dog. Like it matters.
I know. You know, nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. There's no quality in any of this anymore.
Let me throw at you Ernest Saves Christmas. I remember loving that.
I didn't like it.
Saw that at the Dollar Show as well.
I saw many Ernest films as a kid. We've discussed this. I saw many Ernest films as a kid. I hated all of them except Ernest Goes to Jail. I loved.
Jail is very funny.
I loved him playing the two characters.
Jail is very funny.
Yeah.
Throw a couple at me, Joe. Don't leave me hanging.
Well, Gremlins, classic Christmas film.
Gremlins is one of the best Christmas films. Absolutely. I love it.
A great Christmas episode, not a film. Tales from the Crypt, the episode with the escaped mental patient who dresses as Santa Claus.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, God, you're missing out.
Haven't seen
it. It's Benny from L.A. Law, the guy that played
Dr. Giggles.
Yeah, Dr. Giggles. Drake
the doctor
and Darkman.
Is in.
Yes.
Sane.
Yes.
The doctor is out of his mind.
Which one was your line?
Mine was the doctor is insane. But on the box it said the doctor is out, ... of his mind.
Of his mind. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Both are very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I enjoyed that quite a bit. What else? Tales from the Dark Side has some really tremendous Christmas episodes.
Okay.
There's one called Seasons of Belief.
Okay.
That I love about a family or two parents telling their kids about this monster, I think called the Gringer.
Okay.
And they're making up the story. It's this whole goofy story, and the kids are terrified, and then at the end, the monster actually becomes real and comes in and kills the parents. So that's fun.
Did we do Krampus on this show?
I think we did. Krampus is cool.
This kind of sucked, but...
It's all right.
It was okay.
It's fine. There's another Tales from the Dark Side. Oh, Hattering and Jack, which is about a guy on Christmas Day and a demon is haunting his house. And the demon is trying to get the best of him, but he can't get the best of him because the guy's got too good of a spirit. But it's enjoyable, you know.
Okay.
What else? I'm trying to think of Christmas movies. I mean, we've really...
You ever see I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Leslie Nielsen?
No.
It's not great.
I wouldn't imagine it is.
It's not great.
I mean, anything post Naked Gun 3
yeah.
with Leslie Nielsen, you're getting into some troubled territory at that point.
Folks, the Grinch just came to an end.
Jesus. Everybody's happy. They won. You know, he became good.
Yeah.
And it's a nice thing for everybody.
I hope you heard about at least one Christmas picture you haven't seen. And I hope you check it out. You know, The Long Kiss Goodnight's a great Christmas movie.
That's a Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
Really?
Gina Davis, Sammy Jackson. Great picture.
I don't doubt it.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang's got a lot of Christmas stuff in it.
I like
Christmas Bang Bang.
I like Christmas Bang Bang.
L.A. Confidence has some Christmas shit in it.
But it's not a Christmas movie. Come on. You're stretching now. I mean, there's a lot of movies that have a Christmas moment in them. You know what? Beautiful Girls. That's way up on my Christmas list.
That has no Christmas in it at all, but it's
all Thanksgiving
movie.
Yeah.
I love Beautiful Girls.
But doesn't he go home? No, he goes home for Thanksgiving. Okay.
I don't even think it's Thanksgiving.
I think it is.
It's just his reunion, I believe.
Oh, shit. You're right. Jesus. Yeah, all right. Well, it feels like a Christmas movie.
Folks, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, you and your kin.
And a happy Hanukkah and a happy Kwanzaa.
And a happy Hanukkah and a happy Kwanzaa. I am on Twitter and Instagram at the Patrick Walsh.
Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. We love you guys. We miss you guys. And we wish you and yours a beautiful day.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.